Right.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 265 main event, the interim heavyweight title between Derek Lewis and Cyril Gane. Okay. I'm going to have to get my drink on the table for this one. Okay, where do we start? So, first of all, Derek Lewis has been in the UFC a long time. You know, his record is 25-7, but he's been in the UFC for, I mean, let's have a quick look. I should have checked this before we started. I mean, Cyril Gane is 9 fights into his pro career. I think he had 3 fights before the UFC. 3 fights before he stepped into the UFC. Front choke, TKO in the second round. Front choke in the first round, TKO in the second round, and then uppercut to ground and pound in the first round. And then he stepped into the UFC, submitting Rafael Pessoa with an arm triangle and then Dontel Mays with a heel hook after completely lighting him up for the whole 15 minutes. And then, you know, at 15 seconds left, dropped back and finished a heel hook, which amazingly is exactly what he told me he might do like a couple of days before when he was in the workout room. I said, so what we're going to see out of you this time, a heel hook. And he was like, maybe. Little did I know that he'd been working on that for the last, you know, 30 seconds of each round. And he just went for it against Dontel Mays and got the finish. So anyway, the reason I bring that up is because it brings in an interesting conversation with Derek Lewis, because what you find a lot of the time with Derek Lewis. So first of all, let's talk about his takedown defense. It's surprisingly very, very good as long as people are trying to wrestle him, as long as people are trying to shoot for his lower legs or, you know, pick up a leg or catch a kick. If he's on one foot bouncing around the octagon, he looks like a cat. It's quite amazing. If you grab him with his upper body, it looks like his legs stop working and people seem to be able to just like off balance him quite easily. So there are two clear sides to Derek Lewis's takedown offense. If I'm attacking Derek Lewis, I'm going for upper body clinch as opposed to lower body. But then when people, even if people are able to take him down and get in top position, his ability to kind of muscle and scramble out of positions, oftentimes given his back. I mean, how many times have we seen Derek Lewis? I can tell you exactly. We've seen him against Gonzaga when he scrambled back to his feet. We've seen him against Roy Nelson scrambling back to his feet. You know, like he had Marcin Tybura in mount and stood up, you know, gave his back in the process, pulls a heel out of, one of the hooks out and then shakes him off. And then straight away lands a shot and knocks Marcin Tybura down and then takes top position. It's, you know, it's like even when he's taken, the point I'm making is even if he is taken down and he finds himself in bottom position, at the point when he gets impatient laying there, being trapped, most of the time, even with a black belt on top of him, he just gets up. Usually that finds him either back on his feet where people then have to deal with his power, or he finds himself in top position. And quite a consistent thing in Derek Lewis's career is that people attack his ankles from the bottom position. Like really early on in his UFC career. Let's have a quick look at this. Hang on a minute. So he was 1-1 as an amateur. This is Derek Lewis, by the way. And then 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. Then he signed with Bellator and went 4-2. 5-2, 6-2, 7-2, 8-2, 9-2 with a win over Rochelle. It was impressive. So he signed with the UFC at 9-2 and fought Jack May. Guto Inocente went for one of his ankles. Ruan Potts was chasing his ankles. Damian Grabowski was chasing his ankles. Quite consistently, you found Derek Lewis taken down or stuffs a takedown, finds himself in a top position where he starts to ground and pound, and then people attack his ankles. I think part of the reason for that is because you don't want to deal with his upper body. You know, his upper body is immensely powerful. You can see by how he generates force into his punches. So you imagine trying to control somebody like that with, an arm triangle or something like that. It's going to be very difficult. You're going to have to do what DC did and really wear him out first, you know, make him carry your weight, make him suffer. And this is what Cyril Gane's very good at. I know I've kind of jumped around a little bit here, but let's go back to the stand-up part of it. So ideally for Derek Lewis, he wants to be marching forward at a real steady pace with his hands kind of around his chest And then at some point, when he feels like he's got you backed up against the fence, he's going to rush at you. And it's either going to be a high kick or a jumping knee, but his main goal is to land his right hand. And he'll try and land it over and over again. Doesn't mean he won't switch to uppercuts and hooks off the lead hand, but he stands square, kind of like Poirier does, broadside, real square to his opponent. And he just fires that right hand as many times as he can until they're unconscious. And he's got a good 25 or 30 second sprint. But then if he's not successful, he kind of pulls back and goes back to his steady pace. If that's not successful, if the person that he's fighting has a bit more firepower or a bit more speed and they start to pick at him, sometimes you'll find him circle back to the back foot, and then he'll start walking along the side of the octagon. And you'll see both versions of this in the Travis Brown fight. First of all, he comes out and Travis Brown's like moving laterally, and Derek Lewis is just trying to walk him down and put him in a spot up against the fence. But then once you see Travis Brown hurt Derek Lewis to the midsection with the knee and with the front kick, that's when he backs up against the fence, and that's when he starts to look a bit more vulnerable. But that's also when people start to underestimate him. You remember the Volkov fight. It was the last 10 seconds of the fight. It uncorked a massive right hand. Same thing with the Travis Brown fight. Two times in that fight, he was backed up against the fence, looking like he was hurt. Travis Brown commits to doing something, and he takes a massive right hand over the top. And neither of them landed really cleanly. I mean, one landed kind of on the side of the head. The other one landed on the forehead and like really took his legs away. But that's quite consistent as well. It's people closing down against the fence. They feel like he's hurt and they go in to strike. And he uncorks a massive counterpunch and changes the momentum of the fight entirely. This is where it's challenging for Cyril, because Cyril's a marathon fighter. You know, he's a... Right, this is a 25-minute fight. This is how I'm going to beat him for 25 minutes. And if there's an opportunity to finish the fight in less, of course he will take it. But he's not going to take risks unnecessarily. You know, I mean, what's he had? Five fights in the UFC now? Six fights in the UFC? I can't think of a time where he's really taken a clean punch, because he's too fast for most people. He doesn't move like a heavyweight. He doesn't bounce like a heavyweight. He doesn't cover distance like a heavyweight. Admittedly, he doesn't really hit like a heavyweight, but, you know, I mean, obviously he's going to hit harder than most people. But if you compare it to Derek Lewis or, you know, obviously Francis Ngannou is the other one. I mean, the amount of power that these guys generate by comparison, it makes Cyril look much more like a points fighter. Which is not a bad thing. It requires him to be a technically higher level of martial artist, which absolutely he is. I mean, you can't argue with that. He's technically a better martial artist than Derek Lewis. If you were going to a seminar, you might want to meet Derek Lewis and thank him for his Instagram. But you want to learn off Cyril. You know, that's the point of difference. This is where the challenge falls on the technician, because you have to deal with this raw power that Derek Lewis brings to the table, and it's not like that's all he's got. It's like, it's not just raw power, it's raw power with a refinement in road testing, shall we say. You can tell Derek Lewis has cleaned a few clocks in the gym. You can tell he's put a few people face down on the pavement before. You can find that video of him sparking that boxer out that came in the gym throwing his weight around. Like, you know that right hand is proven by testing it. I would imagine he was a quiet kid that was overweight. I'd imagine he got picked on. You can picture these moments where he's not a trouble causer. I'm not saying that by any means, but you can imagine there's been moments in Derek Lewis's life where someone's been a bit mouthy and he's tested that right hand and reassured himself of that power. But with that comes a refinement of the instinct of how to throw it, how to land it, when to throw it, where to land it, you know. Reading people's body language and recognizing when they're moving towards you, recognizing, you know, the range and the distance. There's no doubt that the right hand that he lands, even though it lands in a kind of a clumsy looking way sometimes, it will land far more often than not because of how many times he's thrown it, how often he relies on it. And this is the other point of difference in this fight, which is where I find it most interesting. Derek Lewis is not thinking about judges. He's not thinking about scorecards. He's not thinking about winning by decision or anything like that. He has one goal in mind, and that is to knock you out as quickly as possible. He doesn't need to look pretty. He doesn't need to be fancy. He's not trying to prove anything. He's literally not trying to prove anything. Even if he finds himself in a world title fight against Ngannou next, he's not there to prove that he's the best heavyweight in the world. He's there to prove he can knock out the person in front of him. It's as simple as that. And there's a beauty in that simplicity. Because then when he gets in there, he's not thinking about flying knees and heel hooks. I'm not saying he won't throw a flying knee, but again, you watch all of these techniques. It's a gap bridger to land so he can hit you with that right hand as powerfully as possible. You know, you look at all those kicks that he threw against Latifi. Not one of them was set up to actually land. They're all set up to move you towards the power punch. So there's an efficiency there's a beauty in the efficiency in the way that Derek Lewis approaches fights. But there's also a recklessness to it. There's a reason why techniques are refined, is to make them more efficient. But Lewis has never needed to, because they've been efficient enough. Because Cyril Gane doesn't have that one punch, like devastating nuclear power that Lewis has got, he's had to refine his skills to make them more effective over the long term. But that also has changed the way that he approaches fights and the way he thinks about fights. His focus will be win on point, stay out of the way, make good decisions, you know, not overextend myself. If I can clinch, I can clinch. I might be able to take him down. If I can take him down, I can ground and pound him or wear on him. But the thought process of someone sitting cage side and marking that on a scorecard will always be present, both in Cyril's mind and in his corner team's mind, because they know what dog they're bringing to the race. On the flip side of the cage, you've got Derek Lewis's corner team, who have taken Derek Lewis and what, you know, he is this you know, incredible punching power, right? That's what Derek Lewis represents, with no training at all. Like, already, you don't need to give him any training. By instinct and by aggression and intention, Derek Lewis would punch hard with no training at all. So what they've done is they've seen this commodity that he has, and they've bolstered it with understanding of overhooks and underhooks, understanding of how to sprawl and how to defend takedowns, recognition of the majority of the submissions that he's come up against so far. And they've improved his conditioning. You know, there's no doubt that he's a more efficient fighter now. He might not look as in good shape as he did when he made his UFC debut, but he's definitely a more efficient fighter now in the way that he approaches the fight. So the refinement that you've got on one side of the table is basically they've got this aggressive, powerful individual that they've kind of. This is the way I tried to explain this to someone the other day. Like, if Derek Lewis is a square peg, and MMA the representation of MMA is a round hole, like Derek Lewis has forced his way in through this round hole, but his coaches have kind of shaved the edges down a little bit. They've made it a little bit more suitable for the sport in which he's trying to fit. They've bolstered his game around what he already has, which is a devastating punching power. They're such different fighters. You know, this is what makes this so interesting for me. I expect Derek Lewis to be hanging back and trying to wait for Cyril so he can catch my counter, because trying to pressure Cyril is going to be a massive waste of energy for Derek Lewis. He's going to be chasing him. He's going to be swinging. He's going to be missing. Cyril's got great footwork, even in the smaller cage, the smaller octagon. He's even got good footwork. So you can imagine Derek Lewis chasing him around and getting frustrated and just getting picked off and tagged. It would make more sense from Derek Lewis's perspective probably to hang back and wait for Cyril to come to him and then catch him with counters. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Cyril clinch, body lock, and try and take him down. And I also wouldn't be surprised if we see him using that as a cycle to wear Derek Lewis out, much like DC did. Drag him down against the fence, you know, utilizing body locks instead of lower body attacks, and then wearing on him and forcing Derek Lewis to carry his weight. You know, although Derek Lewis obviously is right at the top end of the scales, I mean, his last weigh-in was 263 compared to Cyril Gane. Cyril Gane's still 245 pounds. He's still a big individual that's going to be weighing heavily on Derek Lewis, and you know, that's a That's a big weight vest to be carrying. Let's have a quick look at the stats. Cyril Gane with the slight height and reach advantage, 1 inch in height, 2 inches in reach. Both fighters are orthodox listed on here, but Cyril Gane fights out of both stances. Something else that Cyril does really, really nicely as well is invests in body kicks from southpaw. You know, he's got a real powerful left kick that he can put right on the midsection. I mean, I've talked about it in the co-main event with Aldo and Munoz. You've got to think that long-term investment is, well, this is a point I should have picked up earlier. When I was talking about Derek Lewis and his sole intention when he comes into a fight is to land that right hand. He knows he only needs to land that once, so he doesn't worry too much about what else he has in his game. Like I said, everything's supplementary to that. You won't see him really throwing low kicks. You won't see him throwing body shots because he knows he doesn't need to. He needs to land one clean shot to the head. On the flip side, because Cyril Gane is a marathon fighter, he's a how do I beat this person over 25 minutes or less if the opportunity's there, but let's not push it. You know, I mean, we've seen that in his last couple of fights. He's quite happy to hang back and tag and be the faster, be the more athletic fighter, be a better technician, and also invest in things long-term. Like if he's orthodox, we're going to see him jab into the midsection with his front and his back foot. We're going to see him invested in that low kick. But then if he switches to southpaw, he's going to be hammering that body kick into Derek Lewis's midsection. And then he uses... I talked about it in the Poirier breakdown where he uses a catch-all shift, like he throws his, well, obviously it's southpaw for Poirier. So he throws his left hand, then steps through to orthodox and then throws a power right. Cyril does it, but he kind of does what Izzy does. He throws his left as if he's going to throw it as a punch, and then he drags his hip as if it's going to follow with a kick and usually steps through to the other side. And I mean, it's a really nice technique to use to get people backing up, especially if you've hurt their body. So there are a few nice tricks that Cyril uses that he can push Derek Lewis back up against the fence with, but he's got to be invested in volume. He's got to be invested in a variety of targets. Average of 2.59 strikes landed per minute for Derek Lewis, and it's 5.13 for Gane. Higher striking accuracy by 4%, better striking defense considerably, 63 for Cyril Gane, 44 for Derek Lewis. Slightly higher takedowns. This one thing I will say as well is Derek Lewis does take people down sometimes, especially if he's getting frustrated and he feels like it'd be easier to hold them down and hit them with his power punches. I'll be surprised if he invests in that game plan against Cyril Gane. Because Derek Lewis is going to recognize that Cyril is very well conditioned and he's going to be difficult to keep up with if it becomes a wrestling exchange. But I do think Lewis will be able to defend the majority of Gane's submissions if they do end up on the floor. Be it out of basic awareness and strength or being able to punch his way through stuff. I mean, you know, there's been a few times we've seen him stop people with ground and pound from top position when they're trying to reach for an ankle, when they're trying to set up an ankle lock. I think Cyril needs to be very careful when he's on the floor that he's not off his back and he's happy to fight from that position. I mean, he's got a higher submission output, but at the same time, there are only certain submissions that you really want to be investing in with Derek Lewis. You don't want to be fighting off your back. You don't want to be trying to triangle him or armbar him. You're just going to burn energy doing that. Okay, when it comes to takedown defense, so Cyril's got a takedown accuracy of 21%, which doesn't sound particularly high, but again, the persistence is the weapon, much like in the co-main event with Pedro Munoz. Takedown defense for Cyril is 100%, so this reinforces the theory that Derek Lewis probably won't waste his time trying to get Cyril to the floor. One other thing that comes to mind as well, if you remember the finish of the Pessoa fight was actually Rafael Pessoa investing in his own takedown and Cyril reversing it in the process. So I think both of these guys are going to be quite wary of each other on the ground. But I do think Cyril might use it as a method to tire Derek Lewis out, especially if he's been clipped with one of those power shots. Submission average for Derek Lewis is zero, as you would imagine. A lot of his stoppages come from ground and pound. A lot of his stoppages come from that right hand just punching someone's head into the canvas. And that's either from knocking them down and following them to the ground, or them trying to take him down and him either defending it and finding himself in top position, or him getting taken down and then reversing the position, finding himself in top position and finishing them. I mean, you know what Derek Lewis has come to do. He's going to try and end the fight as quickly and as violently as possible, because that's all he's there for. It makes his game very efficient and very predictable, but nonetheless very dangerous. Cyril Gane is the technician, the athlete that has got to come in with a smart game plan and a focus that lasts the full 25 minutes. Because at any point, if he starts to underestimate Derek Lewis, even if Lewis is curled up against the fence holding his stomach because you've hit him with a good body shot, you can't underestimate him. Even if he's just scrambling back to his feet and he's backing up, you can't underestimate him. He needs a whiff of a chin and you'll go down. That's the fun part of this fight is watching Cyril Gane technically manage this force of nature that he's got in front of him. And then the anticipation of what comes next, because this is the interim. So we might get former teammates fighting or former opponents that had a real stinker of a last fight. So if we get Lewis again in Ngannou too, someone's got to get knocked out in the first round just to make up for the last one. But either way, it's an interesting fight. And make sure you check out the co-main event War Room as well. All right, catch you next time.